Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn to your Bible to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We're in a series on Sunday mornings titled, Our God is an Awesome God. A.W. Tozer writes, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. This series is designed to help you have a picture of God whenever you think about Him. And today we're going to look at two additional, what we call compound names of God. And a compound name of God is when you take the short term for God, Elohim, El, and combine it with something else, or take God's personal name, Yahweh, and combine that with something else. And we come up with these compound names of God. The first compound name of God we're going to look at this morning is El-Roi. El-Roi, which is the God who sees me. The God who sees me. In Genesis 16. And let me remind you before we even read the first verse here. God had called Abraham from the land of Ur the Chaldees. And he promised that he would build Abraham into a nation, that he would give him a land, Canaan, and that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 16, Abraham is in the land of Canaan. He's been in the land of Canaan for 10 years now. He is still childless. So beginning in verse 1. I want us to read down to verse 3. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. What I want you to see here is that they are abandoning the plan of God. God's plan is that through Sarai, God would build a nation, not through Hagar. And so they're trying to help God out here, and God doesn't need their help. But they are abandoning the plan of God. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and she saw, when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And so Hagar began to look down at Sarai. I can have children. You can't, you know. And so, and this really bothered Sarai quite a bit. So much so, look at verse 5. Then Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. Abraham, it's your fault. Even though she's the one that says, take my handmaid Hagar and have a child by her, she blames it on Abraham. Well, both of them detoured from the plan of God. And so now picking up at verse 6. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai had dealt harshly with her, I always seen Sarai as just meek and mild. I've just never seen her as, you know, someone who treated someone harshly. But she treated Hagar pretty harshly here. And it says, and Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, You are the God who sees. For she said of him who sees me. And so the angel of the Lord speaks to Hagar, says, Go back, submit yourself to Sarai. I'm going to build Ishmael into a mighty nation. And God did. The Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael. And truly, every man's hand is against one another, right? If you look at what's going on in the Arab, I mean, since I've been alive, the Arabs have been fighting. And they were fighting before I came into the world, and they'll be fighting after I leave the world. That's just the nature of the Arabs. But anyway, God says, you go back and submit. And so she gives this name to God, which means the God who sees me. And I love this name, the God who sees me. Listen, there are times in our lives, I believe, when we don't want God to see us, right? And the Bible's full of people who did not want God to see them on occasion. Adam and Eve, for example, in the garden, or King David, or Achan, or Ananias and Sapphira. All of them would have loved if God wouldn't have been able to see them. But God saw them. The Bible says that all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He is El Roi. He is the God who sees. But more than that, he's the God who sees me. Now, how many of you like to play around with Google Earth? Or have you fooled with it? It's a neat thing, right? It's technology that's come from NASA and the military. You know, you have telescopes up on these satellites, and you can come down, you can look at your house, you can look at your neighbor's house. I mean, you can do all kinds of neat stuff with Google Earth. I mean, just come right down to it, get a street view, right? If man can do that, if the government can do that, the military, you know, if they can do that, what can God see? Right? If these amazing telescopes enable us to, and by the way, when the military or the CIA or NASA uses them, they're using them in real time. You're not. And so we're looking at old data when we go to Google Earth. It's not right now today. It'll be back in the past, and they update it from time to time. But when the military uses it, or, you know, our government and other aspects, it's in real time. Right now, at this minute, and they can just, you know, if you're holding out your watch, they can tell you what time it is from space because of those powerful telescopes. They can see everything. And that's how we know what our enemies are doing. That's how we know what's going on in these other countries and their nuclear, you know, ambitions, et cetera, because we can see it through Google Earth. But if man has this technology and he can see lots of stuff, imagine what the God of heaven can see. And we're going to look at this from the positive and the negative standpoint. First of all, I want to look at it from the negative standpoint. And that is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden in his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we have this reminder that God sees everything that we do. And by the way, you know, God calls out David. You know, God says, in effect, David, you may have fooled a lot of people, but I'm calling you out. You are the man. And he called David out. And if you're a teen in school and you're cheating, God sees you. If you're a Christian and you're out gossiping, God sees you. Psalm 33:13 says, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. And I don't want you to think that God is, you know, looking down so that he can catch you in the act of doing something wrong. He's El Roi. He can't help but to see. It's not that he's looking to find fault in your life. He's just the all-seeing eye. He sees everything and everyone, and nothing can be hidden from the eyes of God. El Roi is his name. And he sees everything. But he not only sees when we do wrong, he sees the hurting. He sees the lonely. He sees those who are in need. And he sees you when you're in prayer. Because he's the God who sees all. And so I want to look at it from the positive standpoint. God is watching. So just relax. Right? Relax. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And the all-seeing eye of God is the best friend you've got. Because not only is he watching, he's looking out for you. And that's good news. And he needs to look out for you because there's a whole world out there in the heavenlies that is full of principalities and powers and spiritual beings and demons. And they're all over the place and they are out to get you. But God keeps his watchful eye on you to protect you from Satan. And so God's all-seeing eye is the best friend you've got. Now, some of you may work really, really hard and you've never, ever gotten credit for it, but you need to know that God sees and he will reward you one day. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I take comfort in that. So you can look at it negatively and say, wow, he's just snooping in on me. No, he's watching out for you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God told Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. And I'm going to send you to bring them out. Jesus was El Roi in the flesh. And you remember what Jesus said to Nathanael when Philip brought him to Jesus? He said, before I called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And what was he doing? I tend to think he was praying, but the text doesn't tell us, and we don't know. But it must have been something that really caught his attention when Jesus said, hey, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you there. Because he is El Roi. He is the God who sees me. I love the song. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching over me. That's the good news of El Roi. And so rather than live in fear, take comfort knowing that God's eyes are upon you. God is watching out for you. You're his child and he loves you and he sees you. And he sees you in every moment of life and he knows what's going on. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're in need. And he can meet those needs because he knows what they are. But it's such a beautiful, beautiful name, El Roi. He sees me, the God who sees me. And you need to take that very personally. It's true of every person, but you need to take it personally because it's not a threat, it's a promise, right? He is the God who sees us. But secondly, the next compound word I want us to see here, name of God, is Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Rapha. And what it means is simply Yahweh heals, or Yahweh is our healer. And by the way, when you go to God in prayer on behalf of the sick, this is a good name to use. Yahweh Rapha, the God of healing, I want you to heal my brother, my sister, whoever. Why not use this term when you're talking to God? It's a reminder to God, he's the God who heals. And so, we all know what it's like to be in a hospital bed or next to a hospital bed. We've all been there, right? either in the bed or next to the bed at some point in our life. And many seek help through prayer, right? Even people that don't know God, people in the world, when they hear about a tragedy or something that happened in your life, you know, what do they often say? Our thoughts and our prayers are with you, right? You hear that from people all the time. Because what do you do when someone is sick and it's out of your control? Someone has cancer and you have no power to help. Well, what you do is you call Yahweh Rapha. You call the one who heals our diseases and you ask him to heal your loved one. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus healed the sick, the blind, the deaf, the crippled. You know why? Because he was Yahweh Rapha in the flesh. Just as he was El Roi in the flesh, the God who sees all, he also is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals our diseases. And there are times, I know, in our lives when we maybe feel like God is not listening because we've brought this one before God, nothing's happened, or you've brought yourself before the Lord and nothing's happened and you're wondering why. Well, let's look at a couple psalms real quick. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? And why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Have you ever prayed like that? If so, you're in good company because other people have prayed this as well. Here's another one, Psalm 13, 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? The Psalms are full of prayers like this. They're all over the Psalms. And so sometimes, you know, we feel the same way they do. We've petitioned God. We've asked God to heal someone and he didn't heal them, or they're not any better. And we wonder, is God hearing us? Is God listening to us? You know, even the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, talks about his thorn in the flesh, that he sought God three times over. He said, Lord, take it away. Three times he had prayed to God and said, please take it away. And Jesus told him that my strength is perfected in your weakness. So don't worry about it. And God never took it away from Paul. Paul left Trophimus at Miletus sick. Why didn't he heal him? He had the ability. Paul healed all kinds of people. In fact, even the shadow of Paul could heal people. I mean, Paul did incredible, miraculous miracles of healing. But he leaves Trophimus sick. Why? And he's not any better. Why? Well, we need to understand that we live in a broken world. And we broke it. It's not God's fault, it's humanity's fault. Humanity broke the world we're living in. And because we're living in a broken world, people do get sick. People get cancer, they get heart disease, all kinds of things that happen to us in this world. And it's important that we understand that God is in the process of healing our world. And he will ultimately heal it. And he's taken a huge step in healing it and sending his son Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross. Peter says, for by his stripes we are healed. Now there it's referring to spiritual healing, not physical healing, right? But nonetheless, God is in the process of healing our world, restoring our world. So right now, when we pray to God, sometimes God does heal this person. We don't know why God heals one and doesn't heal another. We don't know why. And that's when we holler out like the psalmist, do you not hear me? God, I've been calling out to you. What's going on? We just need to understand that sometimes he heals now and sometimes he heals later. He heals ultimately. And so when people die and go to be with the Lord, then they experience true healing, complete healing, full healing. And that's the healing we all long for. So sometimes he heals here, sometimes he heals there, but he heals everyone. So it's either going to happen here or happen there, because he is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals our diseases. And so this is important for us to remember. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, John writes, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, sorrow, or crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And then and there will be complete healing of God's people completely and fully on that day. And so we need to understand that you may get healed here, you may get healed there, but you will be healed. The Bible promises that healing. And so we just always need to trust and believe that God knows best. God's doing what's best. And when he doesn't heal somebody, he has a purpose in it. You don't know that purpose. I don't know that purpose. But I know one thing. When people are sick, really sick, you know, cancer or something like this, people really begin to seek the Lord for that person, right? And there are families. I don't know how many baptisms I had over the years that came as a result of someone's sickness. There was a lady in Arkansas who lived out on a rice field, and I went and studied with her, and she was getting ready to die, and so I went out and studied the gospel. Well, she obeyed the gospel, and then she just sort of started getting better and lived for years, and she was almost dead. But you know how that Bible study started? She was dying. She was dying, and she wanted to be right with God. If it weren't for her sickness, she would have never been a Christian. So what I'm saying is we don't know why God doesn't heal everyone here. So if he doesn't heal here, he will heal there. And that's what we need to keep in mind and remember. He is the one who heals all of our diseases. He is Yahweh Rapha, a good name to keep in mind whenever you petition God for the sick. Why not use this name? And so this morning, we observe two compound names of God. El Roi, the God who sees me, and Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh heals. Well, I hope that you will learn these names, Yahweh as well. Just pay attention to these names. This is important because when you think about God, I want names like this to flood your mind rather than just being blank. You know, you think about God and nothing comes into your mind, right? So I hope that these names will flood your mind and you'll, oh yeah, Yahweh and Yahweh Rapha and, El Shaddai and all these names that we're looking at, because what's most important when you think, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And so this is to encourage you, to give you stuff in your mind so that when you think about God, these are the things that will come into your mind as you contemplate him and as you think about him, as well as other things we will observe in the series as we move on. This morning, as we close this thing out, if you're not right with God, you don't have a relationship with God, God wants to heal you spiritually more than anything, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are dead in our sins. We have no relationship with God. Man has been cut off from God, and God acted in love. He sent Christ to die, paid the debt of our sin, rose from the dead on the third day, so that if we put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, God will erase our sins, embrace us as his child, and bring spiritual healing into your life, because that's what God ultimately wants for you, spiritual healing. By his stripes, the wounds of Christ, we are healed. Do you need healing this morning for your wounds, for the wounds of sin in your life? If you need healing, we're going to sing this song, and we're going to encourage you to come. If you have another need in your life, just come and make that known, and let us pray with you so that God can take care of what's going on in your life. So come as we stand together and sing.